Hello, Dolly. I'm glad you're on the phone, and hello to everybody out there in the webcast. Hope everything's going smoothly and you can hear everything and see everything. And she's talking to me, so that's great. So forgive me if I have a conversation every now and then, so not used to that. Well, for those who'd like to have a title, the title of my sermon this morning is God's Light, No Batteries Required. I brought some cheesy props up here with me, so no batteries required. You know, each year here in Florida, especially at the start of hurricane season, we all know that we should have a plan. Be prepared. Well, part of that plan is to have an adequate light source. Flashlights. One of our plans, items, flashlights. And I'm sure everyone here has at one time or currently owns and has used a flashlight, and it requires some type of battery as a source of power. Because when the power goes off, because usually storms hit the middle of the night, when powers go off, it's always good and comforting to know that you have something that can show you where you're going in the dark. But I don't know about you, but there are times that I forget where things are set up in the house, and if you don't have a flashlight, you find out where it's at real quick. And sometimes at the expense of your poor little toes. But even with the physical brightness of any light that you're using, even these lights that are in my face right now up here, which are bright but not too bright, that is no comparison to the brightness of God's light, God's spiritual light, that is available to us today. But not just today, it's available to us at all times. We see at the very beginning of God's Word, if you would, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Because at the very beginning of the Bible, we see that God created light. In Genesis 1, starting in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was, or became, without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said in verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So we see where God turned off the physical darkness. He separated that. He created light. In verse 16, here we read that God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. The immense power of our Creator God. In just these simple words, the majesty, the power that God, the supreme God, the Father of us all, of what he is capable of doing, and even more so. And that type of power, that presence, is available to us. He is making that available to us to become very sons and daughters of God the Father, and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. But we know that mankind has, since the time of Adam's transgression, of partaking of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, even up to the future time ahead of us, because it just didn't occur then, but it continued through the history of mankind and will continue up to the time of Christ's return. That man has been swayed and placed in spiritual darkness. And who did that? We know it was the great deceiver, the father of lies, Satan the devil. Some people today don't believe that there is a devil. Others think it's a myth, man-made myth. But let's turn to Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to cover some scriptures here showing that it's not a myth. Isaiah 14, starting in verse 12. Here we see where Lucifer, who became Satan the devil, falls from heaven. Starting in verse 12 of Isaiah 14. How art you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? And he continues to weaken nations today. He continues to darken the sight of man, to try to keep humanity away from God. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's verse 15. So here we see where Satan wanted to exalt himself above his creator, above God. He wanted to become God, and he was cast down. If you would, now turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Continuing here where we see of Lucifer when he was created, the beauty that he had. But it came to nothing. Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus says the Lord God, You sealed up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. And it talks about the different stones, the sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, and the emerald, carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created. You are the anointed cherub, in verse 14, that covereth. And I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created. Again, showing that Lucifer was a created being with all this beauty. But at the end of verse 15, it says, You were perfect in the day, or in the ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. Well, Satan continues today to deceive people, just like he did back during the time of Christ, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, God in the flesh. Because even people during Christ's time, even seeing the miracles that Christ was doing in front of them, they were confused. Their thoughts were corroded by Satan to the point that they even tried to accuse Christ of casting out demons by demonic powers. Accusing the Son of God of using demonic powers. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 32. Matthew 9, verse 32 through 34. As they went out, behold, they brought to him, meaning brought to Jesus, a dumb man possessed with a devil or demon. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. So they saw this miracle. They were amazed. They even expressed that this was something that was never seen in Israel. But here we have the Pharisees in verse 34 saying, he cast out, meaning Jesus is casting out devils through the prince of the devils. Again, how Satan had corroded their thoughts, their processes, their very thinking. And that continues today, how his deception continues and will continue until he is bound and put away. I mean, Mr. Russ was talking about the fall holy days that are coming up, and I appreciated his message, because I think it fits perfectly with my message that I'll be speaking on today, that we will know that mankind will have that opportunity at some point in the future when Christ returns. We have the Feast of Trumpets coming in just over a week, September 30th, showing that Christ returns, Satan will be bound, and his demons, and they will be placed away for 1,000 years. You know, it's just like leaving your batteries in a flashlight for too long, you know, which I've done many, many times before. And it gets corroded and it ruins the flashlight. It has to be discarded. Well, that's what Satan is trying to do to mankind. He's corroding our thoughts and our processes with his lies and his craftiness. He wants mankind to be discarded. He doesn't want God's plan to succeed. Continuing in the book of Matthew, if you would, turn over to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, starting in verse 22. Again, we see where Christ, they brought to him one possessed again with a demon or devil, blind and dumb. And Christ healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw. Again, we see all the people were amazed in verse 23. And they asked, is not this the son of David? Verse 24. Again, the Pharisees heard what they said, and they said, again, accusing Christ, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, another name for the prince of the devils, Satan himself. Again, showing the blindness, the veil over people's eyes and their thoughts that Satan has fostered. We know that Satan is known as the prince of the world, of this world, this age. You'll find that in John 14, verse 30. I won't turn there, I'll just reference it. But I would like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. To show the lengths that Satan will go to and has gone to deceive mankind. 2 Corinthians 11. Starting in verse 12 through 14. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, we have been told this will be occurring, and has been occurring all along, and will continue. And no marvel, in verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed, where he changes himself into an angel of light. We see what extremes Satan will go to deceive mankind. And he will continue that until he is stopped. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm just giving some time here as I discuss just to prove that there is a Satan the devil and his demons. And there will continue to be Satan and his demons until he is stopped and put away forever. We will have to deal with that. But at some point, we won't have to deal with that anymore. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. And you he has given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Satan being the prince of the power of the air. Just not in this country, but around the world, his powers are evident. Read the headlines, see the news. It's not a loving world that we're living in. It's a lot of strife, a lot of terror, a lot of wars and famines, pestilence, evil. Satan is very busy, and he will continue to be busy trying to overcome God's plan. But we know that will not happen, because we know that God is our protector. He is our provider. And we are so thankful for that. His light shines on us. It's there for us at all times. It's not only to shine on us, but to shine through us to others. Because God is very thorough. God is very thorough in all that he does and will do. As it has been revealed to us that his plan of salvation for mankind was put in place even before the foundations of the world were set. God hasn't formulated a half-baked plan. He is thorough. He knows what he's doing. And he doesn't make things up as he goes along. God is not there saying, well, okay, today, well, we'll do this. Well, tomorrow, I'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. No, God doesn't work that way. God knows what is happening. God has told us. God has revealed us to us in his word. His plan is salvation for mankind. We're to believe it. We're to have that faith and that hope and that love and desire to fulfill what he commands us to do, to be there as part of his family. And why do I say that he doesn't do half-baked plans? Well, if you read the scriptures, we have that map that has been revealed to us. And that map takes us on that journey, not just through our life today, but our journey will continue all the way up to the point of God the Father bringing down, coming to earth, the New Jerusalem. That map is there for us. Now, what occurs after that? God hasn't revealed that to us. But we know it's going to be something beautiful, something wonderful, something unimaginable. My mind cannot fathom that deeply. But we know that if we endure to the end, we will be there with God. and we will live forever, eternally, looking forward to God revealing what is in the future for all of us. That is just a wonderful, wonderful thing to think of. Mr. Russ made reference to some of the hymns, and just like I was just mentioning, in page 109, the New Jerusalem, we sing about that, of God bringing down New Jerusalem to us. And one of the stanzas, the fourth stanza, it talks about, they shall need no sun by day there, nor moon to shine by night, for the glory of their God and the Lamb shall be its light. Speaking about God's light, no batteries required. Here we are singing to God. His saints shall reign forever. From death they shall be free. When you get up in the morning, you feel those aches and those pains, and knowing that eventually all that will be put away. God will dwell among his people for all eternity. He has shown us that. It's there in his words. John 17:17 talks about God's word is truth. We know that God cannot lie. It's there for us to believe and to look forward to and to build our life towards that. God's plans for mankind are going to be fulfilled in that momentous occasion for us, the first fruits, to be resurrected into the spiritual family of God upon Christ's return. And you'll hear about that more with the Feast of Trumpets that is almost here. And we're looking so forward to that day. And at the time of Christ's return, the Lord will rejoice in all of his works, which we are a part of. And if you would, turn to Psalms chapter 104. Psalms 104, verse 30 and 31. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. All of this will be occurring when Christ returns. The face of the earth will be renewed during the millennium, the Feast of Tabernacles, a thousand-year period. Verse 31, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. We will be there. We will be rejoicing along with our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We will be rejoicing as well in his works because we will be part of that, serving, teaching, being there. Because we are there as sons and daughters of God, assisting with the teaching of mankind. We're teaching mankind about God's plan of salvation for all. Our life that we're living now, that we're building upon, will be examples because we can share, we know, because Christ was here, God in the flesh. He dealt with what we deal with. But he never sinned. Well, we have that access to our Father when we sin, to ask forgiveness, repentance, which God grants us. Again, that's at any point of the day. It's not once a week. It's not once every other day. It should be every day. And we should be accountable because we are accountable for the days that God gives us. And that's such a wonderful thing because we need to really think each day, are we pleasing God? Are we doing what we should be doing to please God? Are we building? Are we improving each day? Building that base continually. God expects us to be doing our best. Christ is the spiritual light of the world. Let's read that in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Here we see Jesus speaking again to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And that is such a wonderful light that he is giving us. We can have the light of life, as he says here in verse 12, that eternal light. We're going to stay in the book of John for a few more scriptures here. Turn back, if you would, to John 1. Starting in verse 4. The book of John, chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Here we're speaking of Jesus. Verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. And as we saw where the people were confused when Christ was doing the miracles, they were confused. The Pharisees were trying to tell people he's casting out these demons by using the source of the devil. They didn't understand. They didn't comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. This same man came for a witness, excuse me, to bear witness of the light being Christ, Jesus Christ, that all men through him might believe. John the Baptist was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. And we know that Jesus Christ was sent. He was the true light, sent from God to be a witness, to save mankind, to give his life for us. That was the true light, which lights every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The world did not recognize the very Son of God when he was here. But we know him. We have faith. We understand that was a real being. This is not a fiction book. This is not fiction. This is God's truth that we're reading. In John chapter 3, starting in verse 19 through 21, here we see Jesus Christ speaking. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Do we see that around us in today's world? We read about it all through the Bible, even up until this point, and it continues. Can we recognize that in the world? That men, mankind, are in darkness rather than the light of God. Verse 20, for everyone that does evil hates the light. Mankind is deceived. They don't think they're doing evil in some regards. They don't know they're in darkness. They don't know that they're being deceived by the great deceiver, Satan. Neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be examined. Verse 21, but he that does truth comes to the light, just as we are today. We're to stay close to God in his word His word of truth. We're to be in that light, to stay out of darkness, that His deeds may be made manifest or clear, that they are wrought in God. Again, God's light to us, His presence residing, His Holy Spirit residing within us. We need to stay out of darkness. Cast it from us each day. In John chapter 9, do you ever think to yourself, well, if I was living back in that time, would I have recognized this man as the Messiah, as the Christ, if I had witnessed that? And do you really deeply think about that? Would you have been one of his disciples to last, to persevere? I question that even in my own self, my own mind. Would I? Or would I have been one of those that would have stayed in darkness, would have been deceived, and went about my life not giving this a second thought? Because we need to also apply that thinking to ourselves today. We're here. Are we guaranteed to make it? No, we're not. But we're given that choice to make those decisions to endure. God is there. He's not leaving us. He will never leave or forsake us. It is up to us in our own personal life, each of you and myself, to stay close as a family, to pray for one another, our fervent prayers for us all to succeed. We want to be there. In John 9, verse 5, again, Christ speaking here, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he was a light that was there amongst them, shining amongst them, presenting himself, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, telling them. But he's here now with us. God, this Sabbath day, this holy convocation, we are coming before our very Father in heaven. We're not inviting him to be here. He has invited us to be here. This is his holy convocation. We are in his presence, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing for us to be here, showing God through our faith, through our belief, through our wanting to be here, to show him respect, show him honor, show him holy, 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 as Mr. Russ brought out, the praise to our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's continue on in the book of John. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 35 through 36. Again, Jesus is speaking here. And again, when we see this, we need to apply it to ourselves, our lives today. Not just to whom he was speaking to then, but he's also speaking to us as well. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. So that's a warning to us to always stay close to God, always stay in that light that is ever present that he gives us, so that we don't falter, that we don't slide back into that darkness, so that we're floundering around not knowing where we're going. We don't want to go back to that point. In verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Again, that's what we are. We are God's children, soon to be the resurrected sons and daughters of God at Christ's return. And speaking of the brilliance, again, I'll make reference to this in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 2. This is where Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a mountaintop, and he was transformed. And the brilliance that it talks about, his face shone like the sun. Knowing, now when we're spirit beings, we're sons and daughters of God. I don't think we're going to be going around scaring people half to death, showing that type of brilliance. Hey, listen to me, boom. No, we're not going to be doing that. We're going to be serving them. We're going to be loving them. But it just shows, again, that power that God is so willing to hand to his children, to present to us at that time that we're spirit beings, that we've made it. We're there. We don't have to worry about the second death. We're there. And these examples that we're seeing of God healing, of God's power, of Christ healing the people, of all the different miracles, and then this brilliance. And as Mr. Russ talked about, where the Israel, when God came down on the mountaintop, and all that power, the lightning, the thundering, the visibility. These are things that just really makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. And you can just see how much hair I'm wearing here. So that's really something. I'm getting chills right now just thinking about it. But it's exciting to me. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness. And we can relate to that. There have been times in our life, I'm sure there have been darkness. Points in our life where we've been down. It happens. There's no denying it. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And that is so wonderful to know that we need to walk as children of light, to keep that in front of us. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Again, instructions. Follow the instructions. Have nothing to do with the works of darkness. If you would, come with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And this will be my second reference back to our hymnal. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. In our hymnal on page, I was just in 109, just across the page in number 108, A Chosen Generation. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Does it say you will become? No, it says here, you are a chosen generation. He is already laying these accolades on us. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Yes, we will be a royal priesthood. Priests, teachers, when we become spirit beings. But listen to this now. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He is calling us to his marvelous light. And in our hymnal on page 108, we sing about that. You're a chosen generation. This is stanza 3. Royal priesthood for his throne. You're a blessed and holy nation. You're a people for his own. I mean, just listen to these words of how God wants us. He wants us as his family, and we are to become part of his family. So you may declare his praises, do what's pleasing in his sight. And we are to be declaring his praises each day to our Father. He has called you out of darkness to his glorious, marvelous light. Such inspiring words and promises from our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, to be that chosen generation, to be there to teach others of how they can become the chosen for God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And we know by the Feast of Trumpets, Christ is returning. That day of the Lord is just ahead of us, closer today than it was yesterday. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Again, to listen to these words, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. That's why it is so important each day for us to account for ourselves. How well did we do? It's almost like having a report card, a daily report card on yourself. Analyze your actions. Rehearse, review what you've done that day to do better the next. We are not of the night, nor of darkness, to remember that we are the children of light. In Matthew chapter 5, God is such a loving God. And his Son, Jesus Christ, and all that they've done for us and continue to do for us. In Matthew 5, verse 14, here we have Christ speaking. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So are we? Are we proving ourselves to be the light of the world? Is God's light shining through us to those around us, to us here? I mean, I just love coming here when you walk in the door, all these smiles, you know, happy faces, people talking, especially when you haven't been here in a while and you want to catch up. You know, it's so family. You know, we're all family. In verse 16, let your light so shine before men. And that's what we're to be doing each day. We're to be letting God's light through us. Because we can't do it ourselves. This is God working through us. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because all glory goes back to our Father. I'll make reference here to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Again, it talks about God is light. That's why the title of this sermon was God's Light. And I just added, no batteries required. Because it's not a temporary power. It's not a temporary source. It is an eternal, powerful, supreme power of God that we see. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. Of course, Satan would love for us to not think these words and to take them to heart, because the darkness is past and we need to keep it past in our life, not to have it present. Because the true light now shines. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even unto now. So these are things that we have to really work on. Who is our brother? Well, look around. Everyone is our brother, our sister. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So all these little tidbits where we need to work in our life, we're analyzing ourselves each day, areas that we need to improve upon, improve in. You know, our prayer life, is it what it should be? You know, are we fighting these things that have been tearing at us for years? Again, those things of darkness that are hanging around. You know, what a tremendous time of events just ahead of us. You know, we have an example of King David when he prayed, and this is in Psalm 51. I won't turn there, I'll just make reference to these verses, where David prayed to God to wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. This is Psalm 51, verse 2. He was asking God, as we should be, each day, to cleanse us over and over so that there would be no trace of sin or iniquity or darkness left within us. You can see how this is a daily event, daily chore. And we should be of this attitude as well as in our daily life when we're going to God in prayer, when we're meditating on God's word. Our thoroughness and cleaning is not accomplished by a quick once-over. It's not like taking a spit bath. This is a thorough cleansing. It's a deep cleaning and complete washing to make sure every bit of dirt, every bit of uncleanness and darkness is removed from us. We have to be aware of that. We have to be cognizant of ourselves, because the brightness of God's light should shine through us to others. Not only shine brightly for us to succeed and continue, but to others. In Psalm 51, verses 3 through 4, this is where David continued to acknowledge his wrong. Just that we need to continue to go to God, acknowledging our wrongs each day. And to be very specific, like King David was, of knowing who he had wronged against. He had wronged God. And this applies to us today, because that's why Christ was sent here, to die for all mankind's sins. We continue to sin, but we need to continue seeking that forgiveness and to stay in the light. In Psalm 51, again, I'm just referencing these verses, verses 10 through 12, David prayed about a clean heart, which we need a clean heart as well. Prayed not to be cast away We don't want to be cast away. And to restore our joy in God's salvation, all of these areas are so important to us today and in the future. Things that we can, again, pass on in our teaching to others when we're there as priests and kings in the kingdom. We need to stay motivated, and we need to be aware that the assignments that we have, even in this life, these are jobs that we do and we are assigned. Well, we're working for the Lord. We're representatives of God's way. Our life is going to be, and the way we live is going to be inspected by the Lord. And God's light will illuminate our very nature and what's in our heart for that review. Because God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us gives us the power, the love, and the sound mind of God. And we should utilize that accordingly each day. To be a child of light requires that we put our whole heart and soul into the work we do. This is a work. It's the work of God. And we are a part of that. It includes our concentrating with our mind, directing our emotions, seeking and using God's will to do a complete and very detailed job with excellence. We need to strive for that excellence for God and the glory to God and His praise. Because like I said, we're actually working for the Lord. And we are to do a job consistent with God's character and standards. We are to be building that and living that in our life. Again, God's chief concern for our thoroughness of utilizing God's light is that inward cleansing of our hearts, to staying close to our Father. We must want it, and I know we do, each and every one of us. Old, young, in between. We all need it. We all want it. And we must want God to thoroughly search our heart. And by this, God will reveal, and we should pray that He reveals to us those hidden areas that we may have become too comfortable with in our life, of those sins or uncleanness, where God will illuminate that hidden darkness in our life for us to clearly see it, make it visible to us to overcome, to be better, and to do what it takes with all of our might to change our ways, to be pleasing in God's sight. Yeah, we are coming to a new age of light. It is just ahead of us. Like I said, each day that goes by that we're accountable for is a day closer to Jesus Christ's return. It's coming. God and His Son, Jesus Christ, they will turn off the darkness through His Spirit. And we will be a part of that in His family. What a wonderful time that will be. We will be there, those individuals that are there. We will be their teachers, bringing them into the truth and the light of God and God's truth. God is working with us to turn off the spiritual darkness by showing and revealing His truth to us through His words. That's why we should daily be searching, looking into His words. Because His plan was set in place, as I'd mentioned before, for mankind before the foundations of the world were set. We are to share in this revelation now, and when we are changed at Christ's return, we'll be teaching others in their appointed times. Our life can be examples that we can apply to their lives. we can show them what's ahead of them, that they too will become sons and daughters of Christ and God, or sons and daughters of God and the elder brother Jesus Christ. So let us have a plan, just as I mentioned earlier. During hurricane season, we have a plan. We don't have to be told to set a plan. We have a plan. We are to be prepared. So let us be prepared for what is coming in God's timeline. It's not our control. It's not our timeline. It's God's timeline. And it's going to be fulfilled. Let's be there to see that. And let that plan be God's eternal light for his sons and daughters. A light that requires no batteries. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.